so I was wondering, you and I are sitting next to each other if you're just listening on the radio, and you keep looking over my head. I'm like, what is he looking at?
Oh, look, they're taking him out. Oh, they're taking him out now. Okay.
Now you got to go. All right. Yeah, now you got to get back.
Okay, so, he's stuck. He can't get out. Oh, they gave him a hole. He cut through there like Barry Sanders.
That's bad defense.
Oh, now he took out another cop car. Now he's jumping the road. Yeah. Okay, so I thought he violated the number one tenet of a car chase. He stopped at a red light. Mm-hmm. Which you can't
Very
do.
Respectful for that
but
stoplight.
So the cops surrounded him with like eight police cars. He just rammed three of them and took off.
Hey, rope-a-doped him.
Yeah, and now he's going back the other way.
That when he did the U-turn, why did they not have that sealed off? That seemed like very bad planning.
You know what's coming now? I'm somewhat of a car chase expert, as you guys know.
Spike strip?
Yeah, they need the spike strip. Like, because I worked at KCAL, KCAL does news. I was there for 25 years. They do news, like, more news than anybody in town. Like, they do news in the morning, midday, afternoon, evening, early evening, you know what. So, the unofficial rule at KCAL was ratings gold is a car chase. So it could be like the Lakers could win the title. And if there's a car chase, they're like, John, you're standby. You're on hold. We have a live car. Now he's stopping. This guy stopped again at a light. And by the way, he has tree stumps in the back
of his
pickup.
Ford F-150, whatever he's got there.
What, like, so what is he running for? Did he steal the truck? I always wonder this. And now he's stopped at a red light, which is terrible strategy.
Well, he's not an animal, John.
He doesn't want to affect his driving record.
I mean, that's points on your record.
Now he's going. He's being chased by literally five police SUVs, and he's going the speed limit.
But they can't cite him for running a red.
Yeah, if you don't run a red, you don't have to go to traffic school.
He's rammed three of the cars. I mean,
his speed is not outrageous either. No, he's in the 25. 20s and low 30s. Yeah. He's doing a good job.
He was, by the way, Barry Sanders to get away and do what he did.
All right, am I missing something that says LASD pursuit?
Sheriff's Department.
Is the Sheriff Department different than the police department?
Yes.
In what sense?
It's the county, not the city.
All right, they're taking him out again. Wow. 360 spin.
Well,
now
we'll see.
Let's see. Oh, now he's going. Oh, he's jumping again.
He's got to be done.
They got him. He's going over the divider, and he's still alive.
And he's cutting back on. Oh, he's going.
Oh,
against
wow. Oh, no, wow. Now he's just. This is.
He's literally driving down the.
This is a fantastic car chase. I just want to say now.
That's a good move.
I probably shouldn't encourage it because it's very dangerous.
What's the end
but
game?
This is it. No one has ever outrun a radio. So, I've watched 100 car chases.
Or a helicopter for that matter.
Yeah,
right?
This guy will get caught.
Can I give you my theory on how I would try? If I ever felt like I needed, and Andy, you and I have had this conversation.
Don't say that you'll go on foot because that's the end. If you ever leave the car and go on foot,
the foot involves the dog, right? And I'm trying to keep the dog out of it if at all possible.
Right.
Unless you have treats.
Well, by the way, once again, stopped at a stop sign.
He's got a balloon.
Very respectful.
He looks like he has a balloon in the front seat.
Well, Andy might be going to Disneyland. You never know.
You need to get to like a mall structure parking lot.
Oh, that's good.
To where you get into the mall, you leave, and you race into the mall.
Have you ever seen the movie Drive?
Yes.
The movie Drive opens with a scene like that where Ryan Gosling's character takes these guys who had just done a break-in. And they're, you know, they've got a police scanner, so they're following all the chatter, and they eventually end up getting into what was the Staples Center parking lot for a Clipper game, zooms in, gets out of the car, and immediately walks out.
He was that desperate to not go to a Clipper game?
Well, it ended. It actually ended.
There was no traffic.
Think of the mall, right? The structure where the parking lot walks right into the mall, pull in, run in, you're facing the crowd at that point. There's a pretty good chance they don't know what this dude looks
like. Oh, Trav, there's
like.
A dog. They got the dog involved.
The dog is terrifying.
The dog is involved. And now the guy saw the dog. He said, I ain't having this. And he stepped on a gas.
You gotta go.
No.
That's why you always got to have just a bag of treats for dogs and see if you can negotiate with that canine.
Well, you know where you learn that? Fletch. Remember Fletch goes to take pictures of the license and he brings a couple of steaks for the dogs? Yeah, it's great. So earlier in the show, you guys were talking, I don't know why this came up, you can tell me. Why did Billy Ashley come up on the show?
We were talking about draft bus. Okay. We were talking about guys where you had like the hope of, hey, we're going to get this guy and he's going to change things for us. And Billy Ashley is the first guy that kind of popped into
my mind.
I have a good
Billy Ashley story.
Just to play off of that.
Yeah.
Comparing the Dodgers and the Padres lineup, right? And when it came to individual players, you said it could be this guy or he could be
Billy Ashley. They were talking about Outman, and I said he could turn out to be a Rookie of the Year or he could turn into
Billy
Ashley.
Well, there were two. There was an equal to Billy Ashley. Remember who it was?
Same era?
Same era, same disappointment, same
Dodger?
Unbelievable minor league credentials.
Dodger? Yeah.
Maybe even bigger than Billy Ashes.
Dodger?
Yes. You'll, when I say the name, you'll go, I can't believe I forgot about that guy.
Darren Dreyfuss.
Greg Brock.
Oh, sure. He replaced
the
Steve Garvey.
The first baseman.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was going to replace
Number
Garvey.
Nine,
yeah.
Replace Garvey. And
they just, Brock was the guy. And my guy, Eric Karros, just stepped right into the void and won Rookie of the Year.
My guy, one of my buddies, Greg Fisher, still to this day hates Greg Brock because he's the reason that Garvey went to the Padres.
Okay, so here's my Billy Ashley story. I'm at spring training, and I know Karros a little bit. He's a Manhattan Beach guy. And you know, back from when I covered him, I always got along with him. So I'm standing behind the cage, and it's Lasorda throwing batting practice to Todd Hollinsworth, Eric Karros, and Billy Ashley. And they're rotating in. 10 swings, 10 swings, 10 swings. And Lasorda is trying to throw him breaking balls because Ashley can't hit breaking balls. That was his demise.
Or anything else.
Like Pedro Serrano.
And Ashley, Lasorda's throwing these curve balls, and Ashley is just flailing. And Lasorda says to him, "Jesus, Billy, I'm not out here for my health. Hit the damn ball." And Ashley says, "I'm trying, Skip." And Karros looks at me and he goes, "Oh, God." I go, "What?" He goes, "Watch this." And like Karros knew exactly what was coming. Lasorda goes, trying. I can get anybody to try. I can get that guy up in the stands. I can get Ireland to try. He'll try. He'll strike out. But and Ashley like puts his head down like, "Oh God, what have I done? Try. I can get the golf cart guy to try. I can get that woman over there to try. I can get that 5-year-old to try." And Karros looks at me and goes, "We're going to be here a while." And I mean, that was code for you never say you're just trying.
No.
And so after Lasorda airs out his rant, Ashley gets back in there, and he just goes, "Sit down, Billy. You don't have it today." And so like 2 weeks later, I go back, same scenario, different guy's hitting.
No.
But Lasorda's out on the mound, and some guy in the stands at Vero, and you know, at Vero, it's very casual. There's maybe 20 people around. And some guy in the stands is out there sitting there with his family, older guy. The guy in his 50s, kind of heavy set guy. And Lasorda is bouncing curveballs in front of these guys. He's not getting the ball over the plate. He can't. And the guy yells from the stands, "Hey, Tommy, why don't you give him something they can hit?" And Tommy looks up, makes eye contact with the guy, and he goes, "You want to give it a shot?" He goes, "Pitch?" He goes, "No, hit. You want to get up there, try and hit a couple?"
Awesome.
And the guy goes, "Really?" Tommy goes, yeah, grab a bat, grab a helmet. And his wife's there. She gets the camera out. He's got his kids there, and he comes down. He gets in the cage and sort of winds back and drills him right in the wallet. Hits him right in the butt, and he goes, "Now sit the F down and shut up."
I knew that ended with Tommy throwing at somebody. I didn't know where he was going to hit him. But he was gonna throw.
Oh,
at somebody.
You think he's trapped, Slee?
Is the dog still
don't
there?
Don't get out.
There's nowhere to drive. Like it actually, it's
is that a fence?
It's both a fence, but it's a bridge. It's a bridge or something.
Are we sure those are tree stumps?
If he drives through that, there's at least a 10-foot drop.
What don't reservoir. They look like tree stumps?
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of, Alan. It's a reservoir.
But oh yeah, he's
yeah. He may be. This may be the end.
The dog is the end. The second the dog is involved.
Well, he's staying in the car. There's a little dog.
There's a little dog.
Not that dog.
That's a stray.
There's a little dog.
Sleep. Why can't he turn left and follow the dog?
Maybe that dog is going to help him.
The dog is trying to help him out.
The cameraman in the helicopter is now following
him. That's why.
Wow.
Yeah. There's two cops pointing guns at him right by the dog.
Now, that dog's just looking for a treat.
He can't go right.
He's not going to run because they'll shoot him or the dog will get him.
Yeah, if he goes left, they might shoot him.
Can't you just put your hands out the window and just say, "I'm done"?
No, he has maybe 10 guys pointing guns at him right now.
He's doing the math in his head of, do I want to end this right here or go to jail?
John, you still have one of the best ideas that I'm surprised that you have not kind of...
I don't have the money.
I'm surprised you still work here. Let's put it that way.
So here's my idea. I've pitched it 3-4 times a year ever since I've worked here. And when Mason got money, I honestly, off the air, begged him, because Mason's got a lot of disposable income right now. I said, you need to sponsor the CCC, the Car Chase Channel. Here's my idea. You turn on now. Think about all the dumb channels. Like I have DirecTV. There's like 1,000 channels. Like it's an Animal Planet, and you know there's like right wing wacko channel and left wing wacko channel, and you know they've got a Scientology channel. They got everything. I mean, this would work. So one of those channels, CCC is our thing. Instead of NBC, we're CCC. It's nothing but car chases 24/7. If there is a car chase going on anywhere in the world, we go live to it. If there's not, we run old car chases.
Top 10 car chases.
Yeah.
You like, can do...
Like, if you watch the Lakers...
Be like those Spectrum specials that yep. I pop
exactly.
up on.
Exactly.
An officer would be on there talking about that car chase.
They brought the dog out. Had he gone yeah. left instead yes. of right,
like, this car chase, because it's getting really good, now they've got him surrounded. They got like 15 cops pointing guns at him. This one we could run... several times a day. Like we could run this 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. But I don't think people would stop watching. Every bit of rating info I have is people do not turn off a car chase. Mm-hmm. So
do you have data on old car chases?
Well, you have not seen every car chase that's ever happened.
Fair.
By the way, there's no expiration date for any of them.
And by the way, all the anchors that would be tossing to it would be alumnuses of Baywatch. Men and women. They'll just basically be the best looking people in the history of the world throwing to car chases at the car chase.
So if this doesn't end in the next 2 minutes, is this the opening of Mason and Ireland for today?
Either that or I can turn off. Slee's San Diego State Aztecs are in a hard fought battle. Boy, Slee, lots of offense in this game. They're already
nobody
in
scores.
San
Diego State
in the second half. Yeah. And it's 29-27.
56 points total in the second half.
All right, so
cool sport.
Now this guy is just sitting in the cab, and he's going to make them make the first move, which I think is smart, because if he gets out of that car, it's over.
He's negotiating.
Yeah, well, he's not.
What if just like a DoorDash guy pulls up? Hey, did you order? I'm here for your order.
How great would that be? You order a pizza? All right, he's leaning out the window, and he's talking to him. But he won't get out of the car.
But they'll wait there all day. They've got more patience than he does.
Yeah, so this is...
No, he's done. Where can you go from here?
Yeah, well, no one has ever outraced a radio. I mean, that's the funny thing. Guys that think they can win a car chase...
Get to the parking lot.
You know what?
Telling you.
I don't think they think they can win. It's just a matter of staving off the loss. You just don't... You don't feel like losing at that moment.
You won.
All right. The windows
you win.
Well, I mean, I know you've told this story before, but
I managed to get let off, but I certainly didn't win.
Did you go to jail?
No.
Sounds like a winner to me.
It's a win.
Oh, right? No.
What did he throw out the window? He just threw something out the window. Did he have a weapon and they told him
maybe.
To throw it out the window?
I don't know. It's hard to know. What he threw out?
Maybe a phone?
He threw out, it looks, it's hard to say. All right, now we get the helicopter. All right, no, this is good.
I've had the helicopter the whole time.
No, but that was a police helicopter that just flew by. So they got this guy, the Channel 7 helicopter is way up in the sky, but the police helicopter is like right down on top of them.
John's idea would work.
What do you mean? Why are you rolling your eyes at
it? I don't
think
know.
The car chase channel not work. Have you seen the crap that's put on TV these days?
But how many? I mean, there's LIV Golf. Nobody watches that. There's all sorts of stuff that people don't watch.
You would watch Ian Poulter in a car chase. Let's combine LIV Golf and the car chase.
We're getting warmer. Now you have my attention.
I'm a bigger Baywatch fan than I am.
Car chases are good for, like, at this point, I'm out.
All right, you say I'm a bigger Baywatch fan than you. Do you have a Samsung TV in your house?
You've talked to me about this.
You do not?
I do, and I do have the channel.
Okay, so I'm telling you, when you turn it on, tell me how long you hang in before you turn it off.
If I need that, there are other better places to get that.
Well, no. See, in my house, the TV's always on, like, in the background. So normally it's on ESPN. But on days when ESPN's showing, like, log rolling contests, I'll flip on the Baywatch channel. And if I had a car chase channel, I would watch that instead.
Do you want to anchor or just CEO this thing?
Oh, CEO. I have no business. Are you kidding? Have you seen me? I can't wear one of those red bathing suits.
Well, you're the president of the company, the CEO. You can wear whatever you want.
I'm not going to put myself into the middle of all this. Come on.
All right, little breaking news for the Lakers. According to Dave McMenamin, Darvin Ham says the team expects to have D'Angelo Russell back tomorrow and starting, that Dennis Schroeder will be coming off the bench. You guys can get into that as well as the car chase. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so the car chase is still happening. I can't see it, Andy. You can only see it. So if the guy gets out of the car, let me know.
Yeah, at this point, he's just... seems like he's talking with the officers, negotiating something.
What does he have to negotiate? I mean,
Don't shoot me.
Yeah, he has no
leverage.
That's
the negotiation. Don't shoot me.
Okay. Oh, now I've got... oh, he's still sitting in the car. All right. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right. Hey, lots going on, including a very weird turn of events in the NBA's Western Conference.
Yeah.
Let me start by saying, and I'm going to repeat it a few times today, I hate injuries, not just to our team, but to any team. I know that sounds weird. Mason's one of those guys that says, no, I want the easiest road. I want the other team to have seven guys sprain an ankle. That way I can coast right into the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. I'm not that guy.
It's bad mojo to root for injuries.
Well, he doesn't... Let me be clear about Mason. He doesn't root for injuries, but if they happen, he's excited about them.
If they happen, they're obviously an advantage that you're going to capitalize on, and every team goes through this or encounters it or whatever. I'm just saying it is bad mojo to get excited by the prospect of another team getting injured.
But it is a reality that we have to deal with. So last night, all on the same night, several of the teams that the Lakers are chasing all suffered significant injuries. For example, Andy, early in the day yesterday, word came down that Zion Williamson will be out for at least two more weeks. Then, last night, New Orleans beat Dallas, but Brandon Ingram sprained his ankle in the first half, and now he's out. The Lakers play in New Orleans in a critical game on Tuesday. If they have no Ingram and no Zion, that severely flips the odds in the Lakers' favor.
Absolutely.
Not the way I would want it to happen, but...
I mean, look...
That's the reality.
Part of the reason that so many teams playing the Lakers have had the odds flipped in their favor is the injuries to LeBron or to Anthony Davis or to D'Angelo Russell or to all of them at the same time. So this stuff all comes around.
Now, the team I'm picking to be the one nobody wants to play in the West was Phoenix. Yesterday, Kevin Durant, supposed to make his home debut down in Arizona, slips on the floor, sprains his ankle. They think it's a grade two. There is some speculation that Durant is out for the rest of the regular season and maybe even for the start of the playoffs. Now, that makes Phoenix very beatable.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the minority on this. I did not have Phoenix coming out of the West this year. I don't think they have enough time, even before Durant's injury. I just didn't think they had enough time to gel that much change. They, to me, seemed like more of a team for next year. But obviously, with Durant's future uncertain, that's a big deal. It looks, by the way, like this guy is smoking something.
Well, like if you're about to get locked up and
I've seen him.
You have some cannabis. This will be the last opportunity to use it.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him exhale a couple times, which maybe could explain why he's been on the run and evading police in the first place.
And what do you think the deal with the balloon is?
I don't know. He's got it looks like a balloon in the front seat with him.
Well, like a white balloon like you'd give to a little kid. Yeah, not sure, but if you have a TV, you can turn on channel 7. We live in LA, you could probably turn on any channel. And you can follow the car chase. But all right, so Andy, I look at the world, as you know, through purple and gold colored glasses.
Indeed.
I mean, shameless Lakers apologist. You are more, even though you host the Locked On Lakers podcast, you're more honest and more of a realist than me.
Yes, but I'm a fan. I am a Laker fan. I've been a Laker fan for a long time.
All right, so let me throw this at you.
Sure.
It now appears to me, at least as we sit here on March 9th, which is a month before the season ends, that this may be actually not to say that the Lakers are going to make some deep run, even though I hope they do. But they are catching a ridiculous amount of breaks. Let me go over it. So right now the Lakers are ninth. They're tied with New Orleans for ninth. But they're only two games out of the six. And so let's talk about the six. Denver's going to be the one. But if the Lakers end up being the eight and have to play Denver, they were 2-2 against Denver this year. Denver, that's a real series, okay? Second place team is Memphis, all right? Lakers just beat Memphis. And that mess with John Morant, nobody knows how it's going to end.
Plus, they're not going to have Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark's a big deal for that team.
Yeah, out for the year, torn Achilles. Steven Adams, still not back. So Memphis has issues. All right. Number three team, Sacramento. Lakers have beaten them this year. They don't have any playoff experience. If the Lakers drew Sacramento, I would probably pick the Lakers. That would be a pick with my heart. But what would you pick? Lakers, Kings, first round.
Is LeBron there?
Yeah.
Then I'm picking Lakers.
Okay, so again, so yeah. That's one.
LeBron needs to be there, but I'm picking the Lakers.
One, two, and three. Four is Golden State. Lakers were 3-1 against Golden State this year, and they can't win on the
road.
John,
we've been debating this every time I've been in this show for like the last month. I am so out on Golden State. I've been out on them all season.
I'm not, but I think the Lakers are a bad matchup for the Warriors. And Michael would back me up on this because he doesn't think the Warriors have any size, and we have Anthony Davis and LeBron.
They just don't have it this year. Like, the Warriors do not have it. I would be shocked if they got to the Western Conference Finals, much less got out of the West. I'd be shocked.
Okay, so this thing's coming to a head. Several police officers with a bulletproof shield approached the car and told the guy to get out. And then he said, I'm not getting out. He won't put his hands up. So they backed off. They're now firing tear gas and pepper balls into his car. Now he's got his hands up and he's leaning out the window. But they want him out of the car and on the ground.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to try and cuff him until he surrenders.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part where you hope just everybody stays cool.
Right.
Because this is where something can get really bad. And you just hope that he stays cool, that the police officers stay cool, nobody jumps the gun. And just, you know, this is going to be tense. This could take a while, but just everybody keep their heads.
The top four seeds in the West, Andy, the Lakers, you could make a case at least that the Lakers are catching some breaks here. And like I said, I'm not ruling out that they can get to the six.
I'm not either.
So
they're seven. They've won seven of their last 10 games.
Okay.
They haven't had LeBron, I believe, for four of them.
Oh, wait. By the way, I missed Phoenix. Phoenix is number four. Again, that's a bad matchup, but now Durant's hurt.
Dude, we.
So we don't know what they are.
If they don't have Durant, Phoenix is really beatable.
Okay, and then five is Golden State. We talked about them. Six is the Clippers. Now, the Clippers are a bad...
You mean Team Toilet, John?
Yeah, the...
Toilets!
The Clippers are the six. They are 35-33. The Lakers are 32-34. Two games behind the Clippers. Now, I don't want the Lakers to play the Clippers because I think it's a bad matchup. But we don't know what the Clippers are. Toronto was up double digits in the first half before the Kawhi took the game over. Now, I think the Clippers are...
We also don't know what the Raptors are.
Yeah.
That's part of...
Right.
This whole season with the NBA, I don't recall ever a season that has just seemed so wide open. I mean, it's been especially in the West, but even in the East, it's hard to get a bead on what's going on. Like, Boston dominated... For the opening 3 months of the season, they look more vulnerable right now. Like, it's been a crazy year.
And so I think that the way this is shaping up, it's the tightest Western Conference race I've ever seen. And the way it's shaping up, especially if Anthony Davis stays healthy, and the Lakers are getting D'Angelo Russell back tomorrow night, and they may be getting LeBron back for the playoffs, I have never felt better since they started the season 2-10 than I do right now about the Lakers.
Here's the thing I've been saying for the last couple months, especially after the deadline and the idea of, you know, if the Lakers get into the play-in, if they get into the playoffs, do you think they can make some noise? The answer is yes, because it is impossible for them to get into the playoffs without playing well. They cannot back into the thing. So they absolutely have to be playing well. And if they manage to do this without LeBron for the majority of it, then they're really playing well. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I think that if you're a Laker fan, you have a lot of reason for optimism right now. Now, there's a few magic words in the NBA that you can't say or you're going to get fined, okay? You can't attack officials by name. You can't mention them by name. You can't come out and say that the refs are incompetent, blah, blah, anything that, right. that ties in it. Coming up, I'm going to play a one-minute soundbite from someone who eviscerates the official. This may be the best example I've ever heard of. Go ahead and find me right now. Here I go.
This is the NBA version of George Carlin's The Seven Words You Can't Say on TV.
Correct, and you will hear it next. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA. Today it's Andy Kamenetsky and Ireland, Mason on vacation again. So last night the Clippers beat the Toronto Raptors, who the Lakers play tomorrow night. And the Clippers shot many more free throws than the Raptors did last night, and Fred VanVleet, the Raptors all-star point guard, was not having. Now Fred is a good dude. Very mild-mannered guy. You'll hear the way he talks. He doesn't raise his voice or get mad. But this is, I just heard a cash register, Andy, going off in my head every time he said another phrase of how much he is going to get fined for this. But I'll let you listen. This was Fred VanVleet talking, and he zeroes in. This is one thing he can't do. That one of the officials is a guy named Ben Taylor, and he teed up VanVleet. Matter of fact, VanVleet's got three technical fouls in his career, and two of them are from Ben Taylor. And he's sick of Taylor, and he doesn't care that he's going to get fined for this. And I'll let you hear it, and then let's try and guess how big the fine's going to be. Here it is.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, you know, Ben Taylor was f-ing terrible tonight. I thought that on most nights, you know, a couple of the, you know, out of the three, there's one or two that just the game up, you know, and it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a bullshit tech, changes the whole dynamic of the game, changes the whole flow of the game. And, you know, most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs are trying hard. They're pretty fair. They communicate well. And then you got the other ones who just want to be and just kind of fucks the game up. Nobody's coming to see that. They come to see the players. And I think we're losing a little bit of the fabric of what the NBA is and was, and it's been disappointing this season. You can look up most of my texts this year have been with Ben Taylor officiating. So at a certain point as a player, you feel it's personal, and it's never a good place to be. That's not why we lost tonight. We got outplayed, but it definitely makes it tougher to overcome.
Now, Andy, the normal fine for criticizing the ref is $25K. I think he just got 50. Do you think?
He's going to get $25K for criticizing $25K for the language.
Yeah.
It's like you've seen that before. Like it's happened years ago when Kobe Bryant used a homophobic slur.
Yeah, they hit him for 50.
Right. And some of that was directing the language at a referee. And then the other part of it was the language. So that's what ultimately, I think, VanVleet, they're going to come up with the most ways they can fine him by the rules. And if they have to combine them all together, they're going to.
And the Lakers will take on VanVleet tomorrow. If you didn't hear the news that Travis mentioned before he got out of here, it looks like D'Angelo Russell's going to play, moves Dennis Schroeder to the bench. That's a pretty good backup point guard the way Schroeder's
playing.
That
is perfectly where Schroeder should be. Like, I don't think Schroeder is a great starting option, but he is a high-end, borderline luxury as a backup.
And has been very good throughout this. You know, they've won 7 out of their last 10 games. Post All-Star Greg Schroeder has been excellent.
Schroeder's actually had a sneaky good season. Oh, yeah, I think Schroeder's been really good.
Okay. I saw this story and I started thinking about all the stuff I have in my house. And my guess is you and Bergman and Jorge all have stuff laying around in your house. Well, this is my plea to the three of you to, at some point this year, go through your junk. And here's why. I mean, check your basement, your attic, your old garage boxes. Some guy back east realized that he had an unused ticket to Michael Jordan's first NBA game. It was just, he had a ticket. They didn't tear it. When he walked in, he kept the ticket. When he got home, he went, oh, Michael Jordan might turn out to be good. So he put it in plastic. It is in pristine condition.
Wow.
And he put it up for auction. Now, wow. He didn't know if this was worth something or nothing. And so he puts it up for auction, and he gets almost $500,000 for it. $468,000 for the unused Michael Jordan ticket. Now, Bergman, somewhere in your house has got to be something of value, right? Of all your career attending sporting events?
Maybe, but really, I just have a big box of baseball cards.
Check them.
I have before. They're all from like the 80s, and they were so mass-produced, they're worth nothing. There right. might be a couple in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You never, like, this guy had no idea so he had anything that was worth anything, and now he's got $468,000.
We have a VHS copy of Beauty and the Beast, the Disney animated version,
right.
that my wife insists is worth a lot. Like, she apparently read some article about somebody else who had a VHS copy of Beauty and the Beast.
The cover is wrong on some of those. So if the cover is wrong, then it's worth something.
I have no idea. Again, I'm going off what she told me. But according to her, this Beauty and the Beast VHS copy we have is like our ticket to retirement.
Jorge, what do you got laying around that house of yours that might be worth something?
I got a couple balls, autographed balls, soccer balls, footballs, and I got the Kobe letter from his last game.
Ooh.
Yeah, they only made like 18,000 of those. Yeah. But
I think I still have mine, too.
It blows my mind. I'm not a memorabilia guy. Like, I wouldn't pay for that Michael Jordan ticket. I might give you $100 for it,
right?
You know, because I can afford to lose it. But I'm not giving you $500,000 for anything.
You got to be just a memorabilia freak or a Michael Jordan freak, like just somebody who collects everything Jordan, and that's where all your disposable cash goes. You're probably single. At the risk of sounding judgmental, you are probably a single man or like a billionaire.
Yeah, that could be it too. It seems to me that if people are willing to pay that much for junk, that I must have something laying around in my house that's worth something. I don't know what it is, and I've been too lazy to go check it, but I'm guessing between me, Bergman, and Jorge, somebody's got a piece of junk that we can put up for auction to make a little money on.
If you're into Beauty and the Beast, hit me up at Cam Brothers.
Do you have an original script for Commander and Chimp?
Not yet. Not yet.
It's not done yet.
It is going to be worth something, though, someday.
Yeah. To me, $468,000. That's unbelievable.
Like, I know you joke about it, Andy, but have you actually started writing Commander and Chimp?
This has been something that
it has an outline, right?
Me, Brian, and my boy Steve Skelton, we've been talking about this project, I'm not joking, for 15-ish years.
Just start writing it.
I need to start writing it again. Like,
do it tonight.
I will do it tonight.
Good.
Well, after I will tell you this. I'm going to be on Spectrum tonight.
Do not get discouraged by the fact that this is a 15-year-old idea. I can't tell you how many times movies in Hollywood get made and are trying. Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Sat around for 10 years before they made it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when we first started talking about this, politics were in a specific place. Then politics started shifting in a place where we felt like this was a terrible pitch. Politics have now shifted in a way where, if anything, this doesn't feel satirical enough.
Right.
So it was before social media where I could, you know, sort of trial balloon these things. The response at Cam Brothers has been phenomenal to Commander in Chief.
I don't doubt it. I think you have a future hit with Commander in Chief. Hey, I wanted to get to this story. This is something you dug up. I don't understand this, and I'm hoping you can explain it to me. Chefs are taking salt shakers away from tables and restaurants? Explain to me why.
Well, basically, the chef feels like they can't trust the customer to taste. It's, in particular, it's like steaks and meats, like high-end cuts of steak.
Well, see, I've heard them like taking ketchup out of restaurants,
right.
So you can't put ketchup. I've never heard anybody taking away the salt shakers.
But the idea just being, we do this a certain way. We are looking for a certain taste. If you start salting it, peppering it, whatever, adding to it, you are not going to get the steak as it's supposed to come out. We essentially do not trust you
right.
to salt and pepper this to really our liking, like the proper liking. Therefore, we are taking the salt from you. Also, too, there's a different type of salt that you often cook with, like salt flakes, as opposed to like table salt.
Yeah, I think the customer should be able to get whatever they want. What? Okay, if I'm buying a steak, you're the restaurant owner.
Right.
I'm buying a steak from you. Why do you care if I put salt on it?
Because there are a lot of chefs who consider this art. Like, this is my creation. I gave this to you a specific way. You are supposed to eat it a specific way. Like, you know, if you don't get the Mona Lisa and say, you know what? let me add a few, you know, a few features here and there. And like, no, it's the Mona Lisa.
I think that's incredibly presumptuous by the restaurant chef. I once you have my business, mm-hmm. this would be the equivalent, Andy, of me going to a hotel mm-hmm. and them saying, no pillows. We think that we want our beds are designed to be slept on with no pillows. So if you want a pillow, bring one from home.
Yeah.
Which is what people are going to start doing with salt and pepper sure. if they start taking the salt and pepper shakers away.
Well, and then the next step is these chefs start watching the tables and they come out and they take the shakers. Like, this could become a real standoff. We're, you know, we're watching this car chase standoff right now. They
right.
could be the same thing.
Yeah, I don't get it. What difference? If you've already got my money, okay, that's your end game, right? For me to come
well,
in
no, that's
and
the
patronize
end
your business.
Right, but remember, you got to separate this. The end game for the restaurateur is getting your money. The end game for the chef is the creation.
But the chef works for the restaurateur. Bergman, what do you think of this?
I think you should be allowed to have salt on your table at all times. I don't
yeah,
care what the chef
sound
says
very
in this situation.
Complicated, does it?
Some people like more salt than others.
I'm explaining the mindset of these chefs. And
you
again,
might, you might be right. Like, they're making it to a certain place, and this is a super fancy restaurant. I get it, but like,
when was the last time you went to a restaurant because of the chef? You go because of the food.
Well, there's
a lot
of
restaurants.
Foodie, the five stars,
if
Michelin restaurants.
If you are a foodie, you specifically go for the chefs. Like, you know the people. Like, very often, too, chefs end up the ones, because we live in an age where chefs can become semi-celebrities in their own right. They can make a lot of money. Some of these guys, they essentially own the restaurants that they open, and they're kind of the face of it.
I mean, like, if Wolfgang Puck says to me, like, you're not allowed to put any salt on this, I would say, okay.
I'm going to Denny's.
Yeah, give me salt. What? I mean, come on. Why are we trying to make things more complicated and difficult?
They would say I'm making it less complicated for you. I'm removing the
chef.
I'm removing the step of the salt shaker.
Yeah, don't like it. Don't like it. Think it should be discontinued immediately. All right,
I got some interesting news. It's kind of, hopefully it's okay, but per source, KU men's basketball coach Bill Self is at the hospital being treated for what I'm being told is an apparent heart attack.
Oh, jeez.
For this is Logan Cadoff.
And they were in game, right?
Yeah, they were in game.
That happened during a game?
Oof. Yeah, so just praying for Bill Self.
Wow, yeah, of course. And he's been a guest on the show. Bill's a nice guy. He has, of course, won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
He was at Tulsa, and then he was at Kansas. And wow, it's a weird time for Andy for college basketball coaches. Yesterday, Jim Boeheim stepped down. Last year, Jay Wright did. Yeah, so did Mike Krzyzewski. Not that long ago, you know, the North Carolina job was up. Now all these jobs are just like, all these veteran, longtime coaches are like, don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm out.
Well, I mean, if you are
now Bill Self suffers a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Self is separate, obviously, in this conversation. But if you are one of these institutional coaches, like these guys who've been there 30 or 40 years, the game has shifted. And the environment has shifted in ways you probably don't like, because you don't have as much power as you used to.
So we were asking what that balloon is, the guy, and I've gotten several people suggesting the balloon is full of nitrous. He's using it to sniff and get high. That's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's in a balloon?
You don't sniff it. You you suck in the
yeah,
inhale
you,
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You suck in the balloon?
I wouldn't know.
Whippets. Whippets cartridges. They're a real thing.
Wow. All right. Well, this guy's mid whippet then. He's still sitting in his car.
He's got
nine guns pointed at him.
They are awful for your brain.
Wow.
All right. Wheel of Questions coming up next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, let's see what comes up today. Oh, Bergman, this is something you put on the wheel that came up on Travis and Sliwa. I don't know what day. I think it was Wednesday, yesterday. During Ask Emily on Wednesday, someone asked, you have one extra plane ticket to travel around with, and the only prerequisite is you have to give it to somebody who works here.
Plane ticket?
So you're going on a trip. And so you're going to travel with this person to wherever it is you're going. You can be going to Hawaii, going to New York, going to Chicago. It's you get to basically pick your travel companion.
Right.
Andy, who are you picking?
That's Travis.
Why?
Because Travis, for me, is a good combination of if I want to have a conversation, I know Travis is great for conversation.
And if you don't, he doesn't
Travis
care.
Will lean into not saying a word.
All right, Bergman, what are you doing?
I am going to take either Carlos Saisu.
Very resourceful, Carlo.
Yes, I think he would do a really good job. Or I'm taking Alan Sliwa with me.
Why?
Because he would just be fun to travel with. He's got a dry sense of humor that makes me laugh. And I think we could get along and go to a lot of cool places.
Briones, who are you going with?
I'll take Andy.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah. Why?
Thank you.
He's just a good guy. You can have a conversation about it. We text.
Yeah, we do.
Stuff.
Corey and I text all the time.
All right, mine's easy. Michael. I've been traveling with Michael for 20 years. He's great to travel with because he's quirky, but he doesn't. You never need to give Michael anything to do. He's perfectly content staying in his hotel room. He's content eating by himself. If you want to go out to dinner, he'll go there. He often picks up the tab for dinner, no matter how many people are there. He's just like super generous. He's funny. I know all of his, and he knows all of my travel quirks.
Okay.
So since we've been traveling together for 20 years, it would be very easy to travel.
So you're not
with
looking for a new experience with this question.
Hell no. I want to do whatever I want. And Michael would too. He would do whatever he wants. So that's why he would do it.
Who you travel with can be the difference, you know, between a good experience and a downright awful experience.
Well, there are a handful. I have a lot of friends, and there are a handful of friends that I will travel with, and there are a handful of friends that I wouldn't be caught dead with outside of LA, just because you know they'd be a big pain. And my wife is at the BNP tennis tournament in the desert with 20 girls. And she was talking about how it'll be interesting to see. She said, that's too many people, but we're rolling with it because it'll be interesting to see who goes with the flow and who causes trouble.
That's a lot.
Right.
It's a lot of personalities.
And especially if you all want to do, like, all want to go to dinner together, that, you know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. You know, but that's probably too many people. Like, I go on a golf trip every year with three other guys, and we were talking this year, should we expand the trip? And the other three guys go, no, because we don't know what outside will add to the dynamic. The trip is perfect now.
Four is a good number.
Yeah.
I think four is a really good number.
What did they all say, Greg?
I don't remember what the answers were for me.
All right. But that's okay.
Well, no. Alan said Travis.
Yep.
And I don't remember the others.
Okay.
Really paying a lot
of
attention.
Andy.
I just like the question.
Do you know who David Sampson is?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he used to run the Marlins. He's now a regular on Lebatard.
Right. And he's crossed over into the media.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of commenting on things in the media. So there's all sorts of news every day, ad nauseum, about Aaron Rodgers. We still don't know what he's going to do. Now, I have said, and Greg, I think you have been with me on this, correct me if I'm wrong, that the most likely destination for Rodgers is to go back to Green Bay. They're paying him all this money. Without him, I think the Packers would stink. So I think I'm just using the most logical explanation.
That was Mason. Mason was very much, he thought he was staying in Green Bay with you also. I wanted him to go to the Raiders, but I think he's going to go to the Jets.
Okay. So Mason and I both think that this is a non-story. He's staying with the Packers. David Sampson says, we are out of our mind. He said, there is zero chance Aaron Rodgers is staying with the Packers. And here is his reasoning. This runs a little more than a minute. But he says, the signs are there if you want to look at them. And it's clear as day, he's never, ever playing for the Packers again. Here's Sampson.
Why would the Packers give permission to Aaron Rodgers to meet with the Jets? Why? Give me one good reason. Respect? Aretha Franklin? You think Aaron Rodgers is showing you 1 ounce of respect the way he's acted these past 2 off seasons, or the way he is in your clubhouse? What is he, a 5-time Super Bowl winning champion? What exactly has Aaron Rodgers done for the Packers where people are genuflecting in his general direction and everyone's getting on a plane to meet with him and the Packers are giving permission? Whatever you want, Aaron, screw that. We're going to tell you what we want. And if we're angry enough and bitter enough, we'll take the $40 million in dead cap space and jettison your butt. You're going to hold me up and tell me whether or not you're going to retire, not retire? We know you're not retiring, and so do the Packers. Stop with the writing of articles or the talking in chat rooms about, hey, Aaron may just retire. No. You don't walk away from $60 million. I said it yesterday. I'll say it today. I'll say it every day. Aaron Rodgers is not walking away from $60 million. And if he announces his retirement, I was going to say I'll do something crazy, but I do things crazy anyway. It's not happening. But I'll tell you what isn't also happening. Aaron Rodgers is not taking a snap for the Packers this year. You do not give a player permission to talk to another team and then have it not work out and have him come back and say, hey, will you take the first team reps, put on the red vest? You're not going to get touched during practice. We need you. We love you. We want you. No, it's done.
Andy, what do you think?
You know what? I thought for a while that he was going back to the Packers and this is just very Aaron Rodgers drama that he likes to string this out. But there has been more smoke about him not going back. What I think, though, is interesting about the smoke is I've seen reports that the Packers hope, like they'll take him back, but they hope that he wants to go somewhere else. I have seen reports that the Jets will take him, but hope that he decides the Packers or somewhere else. Like Rodgers is big enough and good enough that a team will feel obligated to have him on their roster if he wants to be there, but problematic enough or, you know, difficult enough that they kind of want to avoid the experience if they can. They just don't want to look like the team that said no to him.
Greg, who has the leverage? Let's say he met with the Jets people and the Jets say, okay, we're going to trade for you. And they call the Packers. Can the Packers hold up the Jets or can the Jets hold up the Packers?
I think the Packers can absolutely hold up the Jets. I mean, the Packers should
well, they
have
don't,
most
they,
of,
if
they
if,
have them
if
under,
they're negotiating, that means they don't want Rodgers back.
Right.
And so if they ask the Jets for 3 number one picks, that's extreme.
Right.
2 number one picks and a good player.
I mean, is it extreme though? I mean, like they still can get kind of get whatever they want if you really want Aaron Rodgers.
What do you think, Andy? Who has the leverage here?
I would say probably the Packers, because the worst thing that happens is they bring back Aaron Rodgers, run this thing again. Or he
so
retires.
You don't agree with Samson that the door is closed, he's never coming back?
I think the door is never closed.
Huh.
I've seen too many times where it's felt like the door is closed. Like, you and I were in the middle of Kobe's trade request demand, where he went around to everybody that would listen.
I'll play on Pluto.
Yeah, everybody that would listen. And people were, you know, I remember Rick Bucher had reported that Kobe would hold out the entire season if need be. He ended up coming back, and that was the moment where I realized.
By the way, I think Bucher still owes me dinner for that. I can't remember.
Yeah, and I don't mean that to pile on Bucher. I'm just saying that was one of the reports. That was the moment where I realized, you know, these things can always be worked through. You know, we tend to forget because it's sports and it's so elevated. There are awkward work situations everywhere, all over the world.
Until the Packers actually say, Jordan Love is our starter, he very could easily go back to the Packers.
Exactly.
All right, but this story could break any minute. I mean, he could be traded to the Jets today, or it could drag out.
What I think Samson is correct about is, all things being equal, the Packers would like to wash their hands of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, 1 hour down, 2 more to go. Coming up next, I want the 3 of you, Jorge, Greg, Andy, you are going to be a 3-man jury, okay? I'm going to present to you a legal problem, all right, a legal dispute involving the sports world,
okay,
and let the 3 of you decide who's right. That's next, ESPN LA.